The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude.
This week, we continue our mini-series, Blood and Syrup, the Untold Messy Successes, and we are happy to announce that our regular chronicle will resume in 2 weeks' time after our mini-series concludes next week with the tale of Everett Fry. But for now, we venture back to jolly old London for the tale of the vicious mobster we know as Ridley Beef. We join him on the last day of his mortal life and begin by learning his true name. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So, Canada knows him as the Riddler. At least a few people, like at least 5 people in Canada know him as the Riddler. But before he came to our shores, before he crossed the pond, as it were, the vampire that we know and fear as Ridley Beef had a different name before he purchased a mask to hide himself in Montreal. Ryan, what's your real name?
His name is Richard Darkly, but he goes by Dick Darkly.
Dick Darkly.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I've had that on my sheet since we started.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad COVID forced us to self-isolate and record these weird prequels. Otherwise, we'd never
step into
got
the Darklyverse.
Yeah, we'll never know how C-3PO was built otherwise. Okay, so Dick Darkly, for a number of years now, you've been part of a gang, and you are proper Cockney gangsters. We are talking Guy Ritchie, back when he was good, so not gentleman style, but like lock, stock, and snatch kind of. I've always imagined you working for kind of like Jesus Christ, what's his name? I want to say Flat Top, but that's not it. You know the guy
Bricktop.
Bricktop, thank you. Flat Top, that's a fucking Dick Tracy villain. You see, Dick Darkly just got me on the Tracy train. But yes, I always kind of imagine you in a Bricktop gang. But I want to leave a bit of that up to you. So what do you think the name of your gang is, and what's your racket?
Oh, man. The gang, they'd probably just be known as the Heavies. I feel like they're people who just show up, and he's probably the smallest of them, but he's still sort of fridge-wide. Like, it's just weird. He stands out visually. Like, he probably was the scrawny kid and then, like, did steroids, and that just made him normal tough guy size, but still short. Racket is probably, like, protection.
Yep.
More so than anything else. Like, I think it's just, like, protection, problem solving, and then I feel like he'd just be trying to recreate what he did there in Montreal because it's what he'd know. So, like, they'd probably start, like, a shitty bank they ran for locals who didn't trust the bigger banks.
Right.
And, like, providing protection to, like, asshole business people, but also, like, sex workers, only to be legitimate kind of protection where they just do the job and not be ruinous.
Sure. Okay. So I think then what likely is, because your mother was a sex worker, right?
Yes.
Right. So I think what likely happened is being born into sort of the brothel systems of one of the rougher parts of I feel like you're a London boy. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah, like London or Manchester, probably London. So you're born into one of the seedier parts of London, and as a result, kind of from birth, you've seen the dark side of humanity, basically, and of Johns and of the business and of pimps. And as time went on, I think maybe you're just one of those kids who's real good at scrapping when you encountered something that you wouldn't stand for. So it started out like kind of helping stand up for your mom. I think your mom was like a straight up ass kicker, but it was kind of like you were kind of like your mom's backup for a bit, and then gradually you kind of fell in with other people of a similar situation. And I think it would be very easy for the Heavies to take on a bit of a Robin Hood mentality, but like probably closer to historical Robin Hood, where it's a lot of like you have a code and you do things, but like you're also kind of awful. Like you're all monsters, but you have a code that you can live safely by. So gradually,
yeah, it's like the Peaky Blinders. The neighbors are your friends, but the neighbors are also afraid of you.
100%. And I think you basically slowly took over a lot of the like legitimate protection of a lot of the brothels, but then also as your reach kind of grew, the Heavies became more and more of a protection racket, kind of throughout the neighborhoods and the neighboring neighborhoods. But every so often, you're called upon to do a favor, because one of the issues that you've run into as a group is, even though you've kind of got these altruistic goals, not the entire criminal underworld of London doesn't necessarily respect those same goals, but you still need to deal with them. And ultimately, you're too small. And, like, I think if any of the major mob groups wanted to roll over you, they just could. Like, it would be messy, and you'd fight to the last man, and likely part of the city would burn. But, like, if it's the mob versus the small protection racket, you kind of operate under their auspices. So the leader of your gang is just a fucking slab of a man named 50 Stone. And he's named that because he is the heaviest, biggest motherfucker you have ever seen. Just like Vinnie Jones, if he got really into steroids, but also food. So he's just like
Vinnie the Jones Johnson, just rock-sized Vinnie Jones.
Yes, that's pretty good. But like the Rock, if he wasn't cut, so like a bigger Dave Bautista body, you know, just like. He likes the finer things, but he's also just like a muscly guy. So 50 Stone, he's always wearing, an Arsenal, football jersey, which just pisses everyone off because no one wants to cheer for Arsenal, but he kind of wears it almost it's a bit of a status symbol for him. It's just kind of like a, that's right, you fucks. Look what I'm wearing. And they're all like, we know. So he just has like a variety of these jerseys. You think maybe they're too stitched together because like he's just too big. So he's got like a Frankenstein stitched on the front. They don't necessarily always match, but they are always Arsenal, goddammit.
Yeah, there's two Arsenal logos on like one on each peck from the front,
like,
of shirt.
Arsenal. Yeah, it's like the sponsor is just always, I think they're Emirates. So it's like Arab Emirates is just like Fly Emirates. It's just at weird angles. So, big guy, inexplicably, wears his hair up in a man bun. Like, he's just a weird contradiction of things. But he's generally a good bloke, and you trust him. On this day of days, 50 Stone has, showed up. Where do you think the gang's hideout is? What's your kind of base of ops?
I feel like they probably operate out of like a block of like, you know, those attached houses where you just see kind of like slumlord kind of thing, where they probably just have like a bunch, like one row of houses in like a really shitty, like 60s publicly funded housing block.
Sure.
And they all just like live in those houses.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of like that. So it's like it's literally a neighborhood vibe. So he pulls up in his battered up Mini because he just is like, just a man who loves weird things. And he's basically the size of the car, but he manages to struggle out of it. I should also clarify, he doesn't weigh 50 stone. It's just a cool name he picked up. But he gets out, and you see the whole car like kind of jam back and forth. He comes up, and you can see he's got a six-pack of beer in each hand, which is a bad sign because 50 stone is notoriously stingy. And if he shows up with friendly beers, that means there's some bad news a-brewing. Last time there was
a random question, Tom. Yep. How old is he compared to me? Because I'm in my like late 40s. I was turned.
Yeah, he's a younger guy. He's sort of like late 30s. He runs the gang though largely because I think it was the case where, in terms of as people were coming up, he was the one who put it all together. You were likely like running protection on like your mother's brothel and a few other brothels. He was the one who was like, listen, you seem like a capable lad. Maybe you and me should join forces. And then he helped you beat up some guys, and you're like, this sounds like a good plan. He's definitely younger, but he also does the kind of work that you don't particularly care for, which is the connecting work. You don't want to be a fucking crime maven. You want to run things, but you don't... You want to either... Like, I get the sense that Ridley would like to be at the top of the ladder or, like, not on the ladder. As opposed to, like...
Correct.
Yeah. So... In this case, he kind of found what you were good at and folded you in, but he does all the bitch work you don't want to do. Plus, you can't read, which really, really prevents you from, like, some of the higher level stuff. I think 50 Stone knows this, and, like, you're like his right-hand man. Like, you're like... right up there, but he also is aware of kind of where your struggles are. So he's in a weird way, both like a younger brother and your boss.
Yeah, it feels about right for,
yeah.
for Mr. Darkly.
Yeah, for Dick Darkly. So when you see him come up with the beer, you know it's bad news. So you kind of quiet the rest of the lads and ladies down. And again, you're all pretty like big folks. There's maybe like one thin, scrawny guy who's like the mascot. We'll call him Skinny Ted. But everyone else is.
Yeah, they all look like soccer hooligans.
Exactly right. So 50 Stone kind of like gives the signal for kind of you and the other sort of main players to kind of group up. And you meet in his backyard. His mom lives in the flat. And she's watching Corey Street at like full volume. And he leaves a beer for her. And then he gestures for the rest of you to come out back. And he says, let's see if I can get my Cockney right. It's going to be a mess, but we're just doing it. Right, lads. Got a bit of a sticky wicket today. That's right. I'm learning cricket now. Anyway, it's going to have to wait. You see, there's been a bit of a fucking problem on the block. You know how we feel about drug pushers trying to push drugs.
And he looks at you. We don't like, and fuck you pushing, you know? You bring it out and you sell it where you need to. And if someone's a fucking mess, you leave them the fuck alone.
That's right. You sell to the people who want it, not the people who don't. Now I'm Australian because I've been watching so much fucking cricket. And he chugs his beer and he's like,
Well, I mean, you only moved into town 5 years ago. Like, it's been one of those meteoric fucking rises in the community, and that's what we like about you.
That's foreign. Right. You travel a bit. I'm a Strockney.
You've been in so many parts of the United Kingdom that we may as well call you United.
Well, works for me. In any case, lads, here's the problem. This guy's pushing drugs. It's a new drug. We haven't seen it before, and it's fucking people right up. And they're not sticking to the people who want it. They're selling it to anyone who'll take it. They're even giving it out. And he kind of looks to you and he's like, Dick, sorry, mate. They've been handing it out to your mom's place.
What the fuck? I don't do drugs at my mum's fucking place. Who the fuck is this? I want to have a nice little fucking talk.
So he goes on to explain that he's got word from kind of the people who hold his chain that the drug is something called Drac, and it seems to be, he thinks it's Drek, someone misspoke, so he'll refer to it as such. But basically, it seems to be incredibly potent, and his fear is that they're basically field testing it. Because no one really gives a shit about this part of town anyway, so if a bunch of people turn up dead, no harm, no foul, they can figure out the dosage for a wider distribution, because this seems like the exact kind of thing a bunch of fucking pricks would do in our neighborhood. Anyway, he says that there is... his handlers have managed to set up a meeting with the guy who seems to be kind of running this operation, whose name is... Endrigo Duckface Rodriguez. He's like, they gave him the nickname because in all of his selfies, he looks like a fucking duck. Anyway, Duckface has been kind of the front man for this operation. And the good news is that because his handlers and 50's handlers know each other, they managed to set up essentially a peace accord. So this is the part that 50 brought the beers for, because he knows you're not going to take this too well. But it's basically like, we're under orders to make peace, deliver some cash to make these guys fuck right off. And then the neighborhood's ours again. Everyone else can leave.
Well, that just means whoever your boss is just going to send someone fucking else, and then we got to pay them. Why don't we just pay them and buy this fucker's heart? We rip it out, shove it in a dumpster or something, go on the news and be like, oh no, people die whenever they fucking sell drugs here, and then we're fucking done.
He just shakes his head and he's like, look, mate, you know as well as I do, we all got to answer to someone in this world. The people I answer to back in Australia and here, they don't want no fucking murders on the block. We're going to pay him off. He goes his way, we go ours.
Well, what if we just, like, jump in a car and we follow him on his way, and then when he leaves the block, we fucking murder him on someone else's block, and then we say it was them?
Richard, I'm telling you, Duckface walks. And, like, he rarely uses your full name, so this is bad news.
Like,
he's also looking directly down at you as you look directly up at him.
Yeah, and I, like, sort of nod, but I'm just waiting for him to wink, and then he doesn't, and then I'm mad. Because I wanted an exception.
Yeah, he hands you one of the packs of beer as everyone else kind of looks on, sadly, having not received beer.
And then Richard'll get pissed off and sit down and start drinking him by himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a whole lot of awareness of others. It's the reason no one likes him.
Yeah. So anyway, 50 goes around and kind of gets everyone else ready. He's got the money in the trunk of his car, or the boot, if you will, because England.
And then he gets in and drives from the wrong side. Because
the England. Right side. So he just kind of gets everyone else prepared. And basically, the deal is the handoff's going to go down later tonight. Down by the docks in the bad part of town, where all such deals go. Duckface is bringing his crew. 50 is trusting you to lead the heavies. It would be a huge sort of sign of status for Duckface if 50 showed up. So he also knows that, like, he's a big, scary dude, but his heart just isn't in the violence. Your heart is the violence. So he's sending you to kind of oversee this and to make sure it goes off without a hitch. You can tell he's, like, a little apprehensive about how mad you are, but he's also kind of just, like, trusting you to sort this out.
All right, so I don't have to fucking negotiate. I just fucking go, drop off a bag, and then we're done. I get to fucking leave.
Yep. No accent on yup, apparently.
As I said, you know, you were in America. You fucking go all over the place. That's why they trust you so much here.
I truly am a globetrotter.
They always say, you know, if you just, they'd rather you have every influence than just fucking one. No one's got over on you. You don't spend more than 5 years in one place. Lived in every continent you have.
Yeah. He gives you a little bit of time to prepare, and then it'll be up to you where you want to go and what you want to do.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'll take... Is there
like a right fucking number of people? Do you have any terms? Sometimes they say, we bring five, you bring five, no guns. Are there any fucking rules?
It's a 5 and 5, no guns.
Great. I'm going to take the 3 biggest guys, and I'm going to take Skinny Ted, because nobody knows why we keep that cunt around, and I bet it's because he's scary.
I'm scary!
I mean, we know it's because he's a fucking idiot, but they don't know that, so we'll give him a big gun. Do we get guns?
Everyone can bring one gun. So 5 and 5, each person gets one. Each team gets one gun.
All right, so then, Ted, so, you don't get a gun.
Jeez, easy come, easy go is my lot.
And then he pulls out his, like, extraordinarily long, like, elephant gun. He's like, next time, Bertha! And he puts it in the corner.
Okay, I think we'll say Dick has, like, a family heirloom that he's held onto. He was told it's from his grandfather. He legitimately has no idea the source of the gun, but it was like a World War II Luger pistol. Like the German pistol, and he's hung on to that and maintained it. It was originally his mom's, and now it's his. So he'll bring that just like back of the waist under his like bad used car salesman outfit, because it turns out he just owns like 5 of those, and that's all.
Okay, yeah, that tracks. I like that. You load that up. You get your kind of 4 toughest guys and Skinny Ted, who at the very least will cause a tremendously huge distraction. Tactical difficulties there, if nothing else. With that, you kind of load up into your various vehicles. You take a couple cars and you kind of make your way down through the streets. Ridley, as you kind of look out the window, you take in the neighborhood that you've protected for so long. And weirdly, like, I think for you, there's a sense of a bit of a sense of pride in kind of how this is all shaken out. Like, it is a much better place now than it was, at least to your kind of skewed code. It's a much better place now than it was.
Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. It's me, Tyler Hewitt. I normally play Everett Fry, but today I'm playing the role of Guy Who Will Talk to You About Patreon. That's right, Dum Dums and Dice has a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/dumdumdice, you can support us at a number of different levels. For example, for $25 a month, you get your name added in the special thank yous at the end of every episode. And you get to create an NPC of your own that will join the cast of Dum Dums and Dragons, or Blood and Syrup, or the Valentine Heresy in their adventures. You don't have to be bitten by a vampire to be immortalized, okay? It can be so much simpler. Patreon.com/dumdumdice, DUMBDUMBDICE. Okay? Memorize it, type it, click it. The clicking part is subscribing. All right, you got this.
Hey, friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dum Dums and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
So I'm going down the street.
Yeah, you're looking at everything. Everything's nice.
Can I take out a cell phone to call my mom? It's like...
Yeah, totally.
If people are taking the fucking drugs, I don't know. He'll just, like, speed dial it. I feel like he's got probably one of those shitty things, like... His hood has, like, a hole busted in it from where he jammed his phone in it, so he doesn't have, like, an elaborate Bluetooth setup. It's just sure. A shitty enough car that, bam, and he's, Mom, are you there?
Oh, hello, dear.
You never
dear.
Say hello.
It's there me, we go. Your mumsy.
Yeah, Mum. So, I heard someone's been fucking giving drugs to your people. Is that true?
Yeah, he came around here, started handing out little packets. I didn't know what was in them, so I kicked him right to the curb, I did. But not before a couple of the lads and lasses got a little bit in them.
Well, that's... How did they do? It's fucking new.
They were
so
fucking
it's obvious...
mental. They were punching and stabbing and biting. It was terrible.
Oh, shit. You need me to swing by? This sounds fucking like a fucking war zone.
No. I sorted it out. The old mum's pretty good with the fisticuffs, as you'll recall. But it's a real danger there, Sonny.
Right,
well... You got a plan to take care of it.
Apparently, I just have to go fucking pay him, and then they'll walk off into the distance, and this won't ever happen again.
Well,
yeah, that's
true,
why...
Is it?
That's why I brought the old loogie.
Oh! Your granddad's Luger?
Yeah, I'm really hoping they fuck around, because if they fuck around, nobody told me I couldn't solve a fucking problem.
Well, you've
I brought Skinny Ted, so they're going to think we're fucking idiots.
Oh, yeah, that they will do. He is a bit of a fucking idiot.
I might tell them he's in charge. I'm undecided.
Well, I would say Mum knows best, but in this case, I think you do, son. So, you go give him hell, and then you swing by later, we'll have some cookies. That's right, I bought cookies.
One thing I always loved about you, Mum, is you knew right when I needed a cookie. Just psychologically, you fucking knew.
Yep. That's what good mums are for. Kicking drug addict asses and cookies. Good at some other stuff too, but I can't tell you about it.
I know about that. You know, the nookie and the cookie. It's why you always had that Limp Bizkit playing around.
Right. I still can't believe that nice boy wrote a whole song about it.
I told him
about it.
And he's making a movie with John Travolta called The Fanatic. It looks fucking terrible, but it's not coming out for like a year though.
Movies?
Well, I mean, based on what I've seen, debatable.
I had such a crush on him. Well, anyway, I'll let you get to the murdering, but swing by later for cookies. We can talk
more
about
ma'am.
Our favourite John Travolta movies.
Yeah, yeah, we can watch that one. Michael, let's watch that and have cookies. All right, love you,
oh,
mum. Bye, Z.
Michael, lovely. And then you hang up on her still just talking about Michael. She sure loves Michael.
And then I look at Skinny Ted in the backseat and I go, you know what, second thought, I'm not going to say you're in charge. I got cookies to get to. I don't want to chop people up.
I told you, easy come, easy go. And he puts away, like, a mare. He had, like, a weird old mare medallion he'd put on. And he just, like, stuffs it back in his jacket pocket.
You know what, Ted? I think I figured out the reason I keep you around. You sound surprisingly like my mum.
Oh, boy. But Ted's allergic to
you
cookies.
Be good and you'll get a cookie, too.
He's allergic. That's the one that's really his greatest weakness. Great. So you arrive just as the sun goes down to an old dry dock that would have once been used quite extensively, but now has clearly fallen into disrepair. The cars pull in. You get out and you approach much slicker, newer, more expensive cars that have been kind of parked in that classic, like, bad guys from a Fast and Furious movie way where they're all like weird angles. You can see everyone they've brought is definitely smaller than the heavies, but they're all like they've got like clear martial artist builds. Like you see a lady that you remember was like a UFC fighter a couple years ago, who got like kicked out for unnecessary cruelty in the ring. There's like a couple of guys who clearly like they've got that sort of like the Bruce Lee build where they're just super, super ropey and they're like, you just like, they're very slight, but you're terrified that they're like, their whole body is a whip essentially. And then, yeah, just like a straight up boxer is just there. But amidst them all is a man taking a selfie, doing duck face. So he's just got his lips pouted out. He's got, just kind of a few studs. He's in like, sort of punk rocker gear, so like big boots, skinny jeans, a large amount of belts, leather jacket. He's got a couple studs kind of through his cheeks, and he looks at his phone. He's like, "Yeah, that's a good one. Gonna put that on Insta." And then he sees you all approach, and he puts his phone in his pocket. And he just kind of throws out his arms and says, "Well, well, well, the heavies. So good to meet you. My name's Andrigo Duckface Rodriguez. These are my punchy kicky folk." And they all do like a various like martial arts pose. And he says, "I gave them that name because they're good at punching and kicking."
"Oh, I didn't know we were going to like... do this whole, like, oh, it's a comic book, everyone gets a name. All right, these are the heavies. I'm the guy with the fucking money. And this is Skinny Ted. He's lactose intolerant, he's allergic to cookies, and he's skinny as fuck. He's like a reverse Santa Claus."
"Reverse Santa Claus. I like that. Oh, I wouldn't have respected you at all if he was your leader, but seeing as he's not, thumbs up to you. So, listen, I understand my boss up the chain there that y'all are none too happy about our operation here in town."
"Well, let's say I went to your house and I gave your mum a bunch of drugs along with her friends and then they all stabbed each other. How fucking happy would you be?"
"I never knew my mother, so probably indifferent, but I get the sense this one got a little close to home for you there, little guy."
Don't do the little guy thing. I feel like we could all just trade the money and walk away and it'd be great."
"Yeah. Oh.
My whole goal here is just not to call you duck fuck. And I knew I needed to not do it on the
all
way
right.
in.
Well, you know.
And I'm determined not to do it. I'm being nice."
"Yeah, you're being nice by not calling me the thing you just called me."
"Yeah, exactly. I think I'm holding it in real classy. I could have said that 5-6 times. I had a good opener and everything."
"Well, you understand that this is a courtesy here. We're making good money off your mom and her friends in the whorehouse. So I don't really see what the problem is here, bud. We're doing you a favor. So maybe keep your duck fuck to yourself. I'm a very serious guy. I kill people. And yes, yeah, I happen to have a really good pose for my Instagram photos, because you know what? I can be an artist too. I'm multifaceted. Like Skinny Ted here. I bet he's got lots of skills. I don't!
Yeah, thank you, Ted, for being honest. One of you has self-awareness as part of his skill set. You can't be that fucking hard if you post Instagram photos that include geotagging at drug deals. That's not fucking thinking ahead.
And you see the UFC lady just lean in. She's like, yeah, I told you the geotagging thing's a real problem. He's like, shut up! Shut up, Punchy Lucy. This is my business. Listen, just show us the money. And we'll let you go back to your fucking backwater neighborhood of garbage.
Yeah, the backwaters of London. Just takes out a bag and he'll just like toss the bag over so the guy can look through it.
So he picks it up. He's like, feels a bit light to me. He tosses it to one of the martial artists who starts counting it. And you can tell everyone's starting to get a bit tense. Like, the money thing's always been an issue. You also realize that, like, as someone who thinks and worries about these sorts of deals, the prospect of just handing this chuckle fuck a bag of money when he, like, there's no guarantee he's actually going to do the things he said he did, there's no exchange going on, really sits ill with you. And you can tell the other heavies, with the exception of Skinny Ted, are also fairly nervous about this. They start counting the money, and you can tell everyone's just kind of on edge. Like, it's, you know, there's that, it's that classic, like, the tension is just kind of rising and rising and rising. Then all of a sudden you hear, Skinny Ted go, "Oh, hi, what's that?" And then his head explodes. There's a single gunshot. And his head just pops like a grape, and his thin frame falls over. And immediately, Edrigo pulls out a submachine gun. You start reaching for your Luger, and everyone just kind of fucking runs at each other. You have no idea where the shot came from. But it does seem to you that everyone is equally surprised by this. You have a brief second to react. What do you do?
Great. I want to, if I can close the distance fast enough, I want to get, like, essentially duck fuck grappled enough that I can put a gun to his head and just hold him in place. Because he's an Instagram guy. He's not willing to die for a fucking deal. Like, he's a loser.
All right.
I'm willing to die.
Fair enough.
That's the only way we've held a street for as long as we have.
All right. So, can you go ahead, please, and roll me a... We'll say, we'll do a grappling, so brawl and strength.
Great. It's over 5 is a success, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I have 2 successes. Oh, out of 7 die. I rolled 3 ones. Much stinky.
Not the best. So you lunge for him, he ducks under you, and sort of leaps behind the boxer, who comes in with his fists raised.
He's like, "I'm gonna pummel you with these here fists."
You know what I say about good fighters? They don't fucking talk. And as I say that, I like stomp his front foot and go in low. I want to try to body slam him over me.
All right, cool.
Because I'm small enough. I think I can, like, I'm fulcrum. It's like a seesaw.
And just to be clear, like, everyone else around you has engaged. Like, it's
yeah, we're all thrown down.
Really. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, go ahead and roll brawl and strength again, I believe. And he will do the same.
Oh, that's why I scored so poorly. I'm rolling D6s instead of D10s.
Yeah, those, the odds. There we go. Will not help.
Okay, I have 3 successes, and I have 2 ones, one of which is on my rage die.
So sorry, ones won't matter. It's tens.
That great.
Matter.
Oh, it's only tens. Okay, I didn't roll a 10.
You rolled 2 ones?
Yeah.
Okay, you pass the check, so that doesn't trigger a feral failure. You'd have to fail and roll the ones.
Got it.
He only rolled two successes, so you manage to get up and under him, and you just, like, full-on toss him over your shoulder. What do you yell as you do so?
Cookie! I think it's just, he's focused on where he's going to be in 10 minutes. He can't die. He's got to get to his mom. But if he can take these guys with him, it's worth it.
I understand. So you slam him back, and you just hear, like, a sickening crunch as his neck hits concrete. And then suddenly to your right, you watch the UFC fighter's chest explode with another gunshot, and she falls forward. And then Idrigo just starts, like, opening up on the whole crowd with his SMG. So I need you to please roll me dexterity and... let me see...
Do you want, like, a melee, like I'm trying to get out of the way using fight skills or streetwise if we want ducking and
sure.
covering?
I mean, there are legit rules for this somewhere. I just don't know what the fuck they are offhand. So, yeah, go ahead and roll me plus, say, dexterity and firearms. Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. Three successes, one of them is a 10.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
It does not. Okay. So you manage to only get hit by one bullet as he starts spraying the crowd. It goes through your shoulder, causes you to wince. You can't tell where these other gunshots are coming from, but you also kind of know, like, you always thought it would probably end something like this. Just like a melee of fuckos that you needed to drop. So I think with what kind of strength you have left, you rush Andrigo, because he's the one gunning everyone down. So you leap at him, you knock the gun to one side, he starts throwing fists at you. You start throwing fists at him. Go ahead and roll me a melee plus strength check, please.
That is four successes.
All right, that's four successes to his two. So you manage to, like, he's got his guard up. You knock his hands aside, and you just start pummeling. Here's my question. How hard do you think you go at him? Is this, like, don't get up?
I need him. I want him dazed but not out. Because at this point, I have to take him with me or we all get murdered. So... I need him alive
all right.
as a human shield and then to get him into a vehicle to get the fuck out of here.
So you start punching and he's kind of putting up a fight. You can hear more of these kind of like cracking gunshots around you. Eventually he goes down. You drag him up. You kind of get him up to his feet. He just kind of, like, he's in a bit of a daze. He manages to lock eyes with you, and then he does a duck face, and you feel a switchblade kind of enter your ribs. And he's like, Instagram rocks. What do?
You fucking asshole. And I'll knock him out. I'm just going to take him clean out. But I got to bring him with me.
All right, so you brain
fucking
him.
Fucking asshole.
He collapses into your arms. You begin to drag him back towards your car. As you pull him back through the chaos, you can see that most, like, your whole crew is down. Most of their crew is too. You see someone start to run for the exit, get shot. As you pull him towards the car, you look down and you can just see, like, a laser sight tracking up his back. And you have just a split second as you hear the crack to realize that anything that's that powerful isn't just going to stop at him. And that's when the bullet punches through your chest. Now you're still up, but you're bleeding pretty profusely. Do you try and drag him the rest of the way to the car, or do you just ditch him and run?
Man, I'm gonna get fucking killed. I'll do a lot of things, but I don't actually give a fuck about this guy. I will drop him,
and then just like take two flip phones out and just grab two pictures of just whatever I can in the dark, and then just bolt for the car.
Okay, so you reach for your pockets, you kind of pull your phones up. You're finding it really hard to move your arms for some reason. You manage to snap both the photos, and then you look down and you can see that the blood is just soaked fully through. It was a high, like this was a high impact sniper round. And you in your head, you're halfway to your car, but in reality, you're stumbling kind of backward, falling over. And the last thing you hear before you black out is a feral howl. The sound of a human scream, and then you see a body drop out of the rafters, and you black out. When you come to, you're in the dark, and it's you actually feel very claustrophobic. It seems there's weight pushing in on you from all sides, and you realize that you've been packed into something with dirt.
What in the fuck?
I'll just try to shove my way out. This is some fucking bullshit.
So you push out and you like push through the dirt. Your hands hit something heavy. You shove it up and off you. You kind of get up out of literally like dusting yourself off as you get up and out. And you find yourself in a sort of a small room that looks like it's got a lot of sort of very fine ornate coffins about, and you can see there are some like classic like Italian mob types walking around in just like impeccable suits, and all of them look kind of pale in the dark light, but once you're up, one of them approaches you. He's like a, think like a Ted Danson type. And he just says, Mr. Darkly. Hi. My name is, Gaston, and it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Would you mind coming with me, sir?
And he's just like standing there covered in dried blood and dirt. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. And he's just going to, like, look down at his chest where he knows he was shot and, like, feel around. And what the fuck's going on there, Tom?
The bullet wound is gone. There's still a ragged hole in your clothes. And, like, your clothes are still soaked. And, like, the blood is dried. But the wound itself is missing. As is the knife wound.
What the fuck is going on? Okay, so clearly this ain't fucking heaven. Because they don't say you got to dig your way out of a fucking hole.
No, certainly it is not, sir. Quite the opposite. You are still in the world you knew. Just better.
Ah, all right. I was worried I was in fucking hell. I'm okay with just being all right.
Sir, I can assure you that though there likely is a hell, we are far from it. Please, let me... there's someone you need to meet. Your sire, as it were. There's going to be some new terminology for you, I'm afraid, but... It's going to be worth it. Trust me. Come this way.
All right. And I, like, brush off some dirt, but do a really half-assed job and then cut his losses. And he'll be like, well, let's fucking do this.
So Gaston leads you up a flight of stairs into what seems to be kind of a, like, a large lounge. There's, like, a billiards table. There's mounted animal heads of, like, classic kind of, upper-class British, like, there's a zebra and, like, a bunch of animals that probably shouldn't be mounted for public consumption. You can see a number of these types walking around. There's a massive wall-sized TV that's kind of showing the news of the day. In front of it is, like, a Viola Davis type in an incredibly well-cut suit. She's got, like, a snifter in her hand, but you've seen a lot of blood in your day and you can definitely tell there's blood in that glass. She takes a sip. She just turns and she says, ah, it's a delicious beverage, but, that's neither here nor there. Takes another sip, puts it down, says,
Mr. Darkly, so nice to make your acquaintance. Please, come in, have a seat. Are you hungry?
Am I hungry?
Yeah, but you're not quite sure what for. The promise of cookies lingers in your head, but,
Yeah, well, I'm not hungry, but you know what, priorities. And I'll come in. Is there a chair or something that I can obviously sit
there's,
in?
There's like, there's sort of some lounge chairs. You, like, again, you've seen hideouts. This is definitely, like, just a nicer version of what 50 would do in kind of out back. So, she welcomes you in, kind of gestures to a chair. You fall back in, and damn, that's a comfortable chair. This is some, like, posh luxury bullshit. But, you know, when in Rome.
All right. I can appreciate the medical attention and everything else. So, what do you need from me? Because nobody takes a guy like me from a fucking ditch and patches him up and then buries him in a hole and then is like, you know what? I might have some symbolism and I might have a job. So, what is it?
Well, correct you are, Mr. Darkly. You see, your dear friend, 50 Stone, is a dear friend of mine as well. I, in fact, saved him once when he'd just come back from his US-Australian tour. He was in a spot of trouble, as you can imagine a man such as 50 Stone might be. And I bailed him out of said trouble on the promise that he would help keep the streets in order in a way that served my and our purposes. So he's been a good boy for some time, one of a long line of many good boys who served the Note Nostra, which is us. And now you, Mr. Darkly. You see, I hate to see good talent go to waste. And when we heard of your unfortunate situation, well, we simply couldn't let a man of your talents go. So I instructed my men to help out a little bit, and I came personally for you. My name is Regan Rowling, and I am what you might call a vampire. Now, I know that's going to sound like some ridiculous bullshit, and I can understand why you would think that, but in truth, it is true. And she kind of, like, lifts... She does, like, the stupid Joker smile from the Joaquin movie and just, like, shows off her fangs. And she says, so here's the bitch of it, Mr. Darkly. You are now one of us, a kindred, as we call ourselves, but a vampire.
Spooky. He's going to reach up and touch his teeth because he's, like, exists in his own world of little things.
Yeah, and you can feel the fangs.
Oh, fuck. So, wait, can I see the sun then?
No. Actually, that would be quite dangerous for you. You see, you actually are quite, in some ways, privileged. Most kindred nowadays are turned by the various dregs of our society. I happen to be very old and very accomplished. And thus, you too are very powerful, as we kindred go. You may no longer see the sun. You may no longer eat and drink human food.
Ah, fuck. I like doing that.
Yeah, we all do.
Okay.
The good news
is... I didn't mean to cut you off, though. This was a list, and I'm going to want to know all the fucking things I can't do.
I understand. The most pertinent thing, perhaps, is that we do have use for you and your skills, and we'll explain how it all works, and you'll need to know about the Camarilla, which is, I think, a larger organization closer to your Vatican than anything else, unfortunately. But more importantly is us, you and me, and these fine folks around us. We are the Note Nostra. We are relatively new in the greater scheme of the Kindred Society, but we realized there were gaps. And a criminal like yourself must know how valuable those gaps can be to enterprising criminals such as us. So while the Camarilla fights their war, they go off to fight Jenna and prevent the apocalypse, and the Sabbat try and summon their dark gods, and just basically, to use your parlance, a bunch of dumb fucking cunts fighting each other. We are going to take this world, because when they're done exterminating one another, Smart criminals such as us are the ones who remain standing. So my question to you, Mr. Darkly, is, when all is said and done, does Dick Darkly rise or fall?
I don't fucking like falling. I like rising. I want to move to the fucking top of the world. Here's the two questions that I've learned in every one of these negotiations. What's in it for me? And what happens if I fuck up? You know, a carrot and a stick, as it were.
These are important questions, and unfortunately the consequences are quite severe in both cases. The Camarilla are kindred government, for lack of better term, has been at war.
Kindred are vampires,
yes,
correct?
Vampires, okay. Yes, our vampire society. Enforce what's known as the Masquerade. The Masquerade is a time-honored tradition to prevent humans from hunting us down and killing us. Though we are very powerful, we have plenty of weaknesses that can be exploited, and have been on multiple occasions. In fact, right now our number and our networks have been disrupted horribly by the Second Inquisition. A bunch of humans have taken it upon themselves to hunt our kind into extinction. Your internet has proved to be quite a problem for us. So, with that in mind, the Camarilla is at war with the Anarchs, who want to throw all of it off and just let everything burn, and the Sabbat, who believe there are dark gods that they should summon, which, of course, is ridiculous horse shit. And so, where we see the opportunity is in picking up the pieces, building our own world, one that follows our codes and serves our needs. From you, we need a capable lieutenant. For you see, not unlike back in the day, and she kind of like looks fondly down at her blood and sighs, thinking of bygone times, says, the new world provides a particularly delicious opportunity to those willing to seize it. Now, I know that you're a London man, and you would rather stay such. I'm aware that your mother lives here, and that you have all manner of friends, though admittedly some of them are now dead. We need you to go to Canada. For you see, there is a place you've probably heard of called Montreal. We call it the City of Black Miracles. It is a vastly important gem in the crown of kindred society, and no one has been smart or strong enough to seize it just yet. And that's where you come in. You said you wanted to rise. How do you feel about being the vampire prince of a city?
All right, I'm not like a book guy, but I know my story. So what you're saying is, I gotta go there and like get myself to become the heir to the king and then kill the king, and then the prince will be the king, or do I stay under the king? Because prince is a second, right?
There is never, and it's a king. Well, no, in our case, princes are about as high as you could hope to aspire to be. It means you run the city, you are in control of all the kindred who live there, you get to make the rules. Your
That's what I fucking want, yeah.
Code can finally be enforced by an army of vampires upon a city full of vice. This should be quite tempting to you, Mr. Darkly.
Oh, yeah, you're speaking my fucking language. I like this a lot. So, yeah, okay, let's make me the prince. I'll get a crown. I'll fucking kill a bunch of people.
One step at a time. The killing people will come, no doubt. The city is currently held by the remnants of the Sabbat, a group of, as I said, dark art-worshipping idiots.
They're like the reverse Vatican.
Yes, like evil Vatican. The Camarilla are also like the Vatican. There's a lot of Vatican metaphors. Think about it this way. The Camarilla are run by our Boris Johnson, a foolish oaf who believes in systems that no longer serve anyone and will ultimately destroy him and them. The Sabbat are the evil Vatican, worshipping dark gods. They believe they can wake up one day and are currently attempting to wake up in the Middle East as we speak.
So they're like Trump with the economy.
Yes, they're like Trump.
If we use Johnson and then we got Trump, it goes together.
Quite. So the issue we're having is that most of the ancient vampires have now been drawn into the Middle East conflict to attempt to stop Jenna, the apocalypse, which I think is a load of horse shit. But in any case, they're off doing that. Fuck 'em. What we're seeing now is that Montreal, once a stalwart of the Sabbat, is empty. ripe for the taking. There has never been a Camarilla prince who's lasted particularly long there. But we think you, Mr. Darkly, might be the one to do it. Or at the very least, help us usher in a government of some sort. You must understand, the Notte Nostra works under the... similar to how your 50 stone worked under me, we work under the Camarilla for now. And we must abide by their rules for now. So when you arrive, you'll be expected not to declare yourself prince, but rather to help the existing Camarilla forces as best you can. Until the time is right. And then, Mr. Darkly, you can determine how you would like to play things. You'll be teamed up with a coterie. These are what we call, essentially, our gangs. They are a rather interesting bunch, but each of them should have skills that are useful to you. Your job will be to kill as many of the fuckers as get in your way as you can. Pave the way for the Camarilla to step in, and when the time is right, overthrow them and become the Prince of Montreal. Are these terms agreeable to you?
And he, like, realizes he's been brought back from the dead and been made a vampire, and that there's not really a lot of negotiating room in this, and he's like, yeah, this sounds pretty fucking good. In the back of his head, he's like, ah, there's a fucking trick in here.
Yep. She says, so we've made an arrangement with a rogue element within the Camarilla, a pair of very old but very useless vampires known as the Bouchard brothers. They run a sugary confection business out of the woods of Quebec. They will be your point of contact when you arrive and will get you set up within the city itself. I will be attending to matters here. As you can imagine, London is in a bit of a state of disarray constantly these days. We were once a powerful and secure kindred society, and now we've gone to shit. So I'm in the process of solving that. I will trust you to work independently in Quebec until we make contact with you. If you fail, and she just kind of like lets that float in the air. She says, as you said, nothing comes for free, Mr. Darkly. We brought you back. We are more than happy to send you into that great undiscovered country along with your mother and everyone you've ever known. So, do be a dear, and don't fail.
All right. Noted.
So she nods and says, excellent. Well, once again, welcome to the family. We'll have a proper initiation into the vampire mafia, as we like to think of ourselves, a little bit later. In the meantime, Gaston will answer all of your questions about the Camarilla and the masquerade. There are some rules you simply must know. Also, your bloodline is my own. You are Ventru, which means that you'll only feel satisfied feasting on one particular kind of human, one particular kind of creature. Knowing your predilections, we had some pretty good guesses as what that might be. And then she kind of leads you to a room, opens the door, and you can see Endrigo is, like, lying down on a medical bed. He's got, like, a ton of IVs plugged into him and is clearly being, like, kept alive on life support. She's like, I believe those who violate your code might be a good place to start. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, this is a very nice gift, because I'll tell you, as I was dying, the only thing I was thinking was, what a waste that it wasn't me who got to do duck fucker, am I right?
You are, and after all, good boys deserve cookies. And then she closes the door behind you. You feel your fangs begin to throb, and for the very first time, you feed. The next day... you arrive at, I think we said you came over by plane, right?
Yeah, by plane, yeah.
As dusk falls, you arrive at Heathrow. As you kind of approach the gate, you're greeted by Gaston, who just slips a package into your hand. He says, we had the documents you requested made up. It's a curious name, sir. But I suppose the Darkly Knight rises. Am I right? Because you chose Ridley Beef, and you say you're the Riddler, yes?
Yeah. I learned that from a movie. They said that where you don't want to try to get through with like the name John Smith, You want to choose a really weird name, and then they're like, this has got to be real. This guy seems dumb.
That is why I chose the name Gaston. So, also from a movie. It's an animated picture. Very, very good. I liked his antler decorating scheme. Stole it for myself. In any case, I guess this is goodbye, Mr. Darkly. And hello, Mr. Beef.
Oh, you can call me the Riddler. I'm going to miss you, Gaston.
I'm going to miss you, the Riddler. Enjoy your flight. And with that, Ridley Beef, you are born anew as you step through security and onto a plane full of unsuspecting people, headed off to an unknown future. Is there any final thoughts for us as you board the plane?
I would say Ridley would ask someone if he could borrow their phone. And yep. I feel like he'd sort of bully his way into it. He's probably done that, like, you know, you get $20 from somebody at, like, the bus station shit. And he'd get the phone, and he'd have a number he could text. And he would just text three Christmas trees and then a present. And it's a number that no one else is aware of. And it's for a burner phone that only his mom has. And those texts mean, get your go bag and disappear. Like, it's the shit's gone down text. So his mom, he knows as he goes off to try to do what's probably an impossible mission and go to war where he's going to have to stay really confident. He probably, there will be no way he will be able to get in contact with her again. He's put her in the wind for her own protection.
Great. So you send the text and you get back a text of... three leaves, and then a car, which is her, like, I'm gone like a leaf in the wind, response. And, the person's like,
why did you send so many emojis?
I like Christmas and I fucking love leaves. I don't know. Fuck you.
He shoves the phone back and then he like storms off.
Great.
Because he borrowed it from someone on a different flight. Yeah, you know, he's crafty.
So with that, you settle in and head off to parts unknown. Meanwhile, back at the mansion with Regan Rowling, 50 kind of shuffles out of one of the side rooms where he'd been staying. And he's clearly crestfallen, and he seems very upset. He says to Regan, like, you know, he's a good friend of mine, but we did what you asked. We square? She's like, she just sort of pats him on the shoulder, and she says, yes, dear, you keep finding capable men, capable women, bringing them to me, and we'll be just fine. As he leaves, she says, I do hope you don't feel too bad about shooting him. And, 50 just looks back over his shoulder and, like, clearly pained, just says, no, ma'am. Should have another one for you soon. And then he walks off into the night, off to start a new gang.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, and Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, featuring storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Tom McGee, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis, and Traffic by Kai Engel, and all our ads use tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dumb Dumbs and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also get merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon of Darkness, patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.